Well, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Adam, and there's many people in this room that are a lot more knowledgeable in the scriptures than what I am. But I've lived a lot of life in 68 years. I have no accolades. I don't have any degrees. I've never been to Bible college. But I've been through Walk Through Life University. Anybody been through that? Yes. I've got some classmates here. And let me tell you, life teaches you a lot of things. First of all, I'm going to have... some of the stories I'm going to tell, I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent. So halfway through this, I'll become Larry, and Jennifer will become Lucy. That way, you know, we'll just go from there. So Jennifer, would you come up? And we're going to continue in Proverbs 9, talking about wisdom and what the scripture has to say about wisdom. And then I'm going to go from there and tell you a few of my stories. But Jennifer's going to, we never want to go off on our own without connecting it to what the word says. So we want to make sure that we connect what we're doing with scripture.
Praise the Lord. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she has called from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. You are wise. Your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of the house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. But all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, and her guests are deep in the realm of the dead.
I looked this up, and it says, Proverbs chapter 9 represents a compelling contrast between wisdom and folly, personified as two women who offer distinct invitations to life. Wisdom is a dignified woman who builds a house, prepares a feast, and invites simple to be instructed and learn and grow. Folly is her counterpart who offers a feast, but it leads to death and destruction. The chapter emphasizes the importance of choosing wisdom, symbolized by a relationship with God, over the allure of foolishness, which ultimately leads to ruin. So life is full of choices. We have that ability to choose because God gave us that free will. Because if it didn't, we'd just be like a bunch of robots. We'd be like slaves that we didn't have a choice. But God has given us the ability to choose right and wrong, good choices, bad choices. And Sometimes I wish he didn't, but he does. And he gives us that ability to choose the right path, choose wisdom, or choose folly. Has anybody here made a wrong choice? Okay, the ones that didn't lift their hands, you just made a wrong choice. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to tell you some stories. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself so you know who I am for those who don't know me well. I've been a lot of different things. I've worn a lot of different hats. This is my Arizona hat, by the way. And I won't leave that on too long because you're laughing at it. This is a nice one from Texas, from my brother-in-law, in remembrance of him. This was his hat, and he had been a lot of different things. A man that I looked up to, that I learned from. So we can learn wisdom, Lady Wisdom, Mr. Wisdom, from a lot of different people in our lives. But I've been a lot of different things. I started out working in grocery stores, drove a delivery truck when I was 16. No, it wasn't legal, but I didn't know it then. There was no such thing as a CDL. I was working as a cleanup guy at this machine shop, and my dad had taught me how to drive when I was about, 13, 14 years old. Could drive anything. He bought these old trucks and would fix them up, and I would drive them. And so their delivery driver quit, and they needed someone to drive this big box truck and go around to the different plants and stuff and deliver parts. And they didn't want to pull one of their machinists off to drive this truck, so they're looking, they're scrambling to find him. So I told the boss that had hired me, which was my Sunday school teacher at the Assembly of God, by the way. That's how I got the job. I said, I can drive that truck. And he's like, you're 16. You can't drive that truck. I said, yeah, I can drive anything that's got wheels. And he said, well, get in it and, you know, drive it around the parking lot and back it up to the loading dock and let's see. So I did. So that summer, I drove a delivery truck all over the place. No CDL, no, I had my 16-year-old driver's license. So that's how I started out in the working field. I worked in factories over 35 years. Worked at Schellers for a couple years. That's an experience for everybody, isn't it, Carol? Then went down to Rockette and spent the next 35 years at Rockette. That's a fun place, isn't it, Bob? Owned a coffee house for 15 years, ran it with Jennifer. She was actually the foundation of the place. I was just there for a pretty face. And I was a deckhand on a riverboat for two summers. There were some people that said, what are you going to do after we became friends with the coffee house? And they said, what are you going to do after you retire or you sell the coffee house? And I said, I don't know. We're going to travel and do things like that. And he said, well, we're going to have this pontoon boat that seats 50 passengers. I need somebody that's good at talking to people and knows the area. Would you be interested in being a deckhand and a tour guide? And I'm like, sure. So I did that for a couple of summers. That was interesting. And now I'm driving a public transit bus for the state of Iowa. Those people have no idea. But I get to have them sit down and strap up and shut up and off we go. So I drove we were gone for a couple of months, and I drove a tour transit van around the rim of the Grand Canyon, taking backpackers and hikers and people that were going from one rim to the other. Did that for a couple of months. And Jennifer, of all things, ran a coffee trailer back at the lodge. So I'm saying all that not to build up what I've done or what I've accomplished, but just the fact that God has used me in different areas to be able to talk to people. I was at Casey's the other day, and Jennifer got me this shirt that says, it's in Proverbs 2, and it says, iron sharpens iron. And I was walking into, I was driving the bus that day, and I was walking into Casey's to visit with Ross and get a coffee, and he don't give me free donuts very often, but I try. But going in there, and a guy stops me, and he says, your T-shirt, he said, are you a knife sharpener? He saw that iron sharpens iron, and he said, is that what you do? And I said, no, this is a scripture in Proverbs, and it talks about how iron sharpens iron, and how we, and I said, got to tell him that story. And we stood there, and he was like, wow. He said, that's really interesting. I said, yeah, you should look it up and read it. And so wherever you go, come in contact with people, we have the ability to share what we know, to show them wisdom. Okay. Been on lots of different boards and committees here at this church, and on the city council for 6 years, ran for mayor a couple of times. That's another story. But anyway, just been a lot of different things and come in contact with a lot of different people. So even though I don't have any degrees, I don't have any college education, you may think that you don't have any impact on people, but you do. Just living your life and coming in contact with people on your job, people at school, people at Walmart need to hear your story. They need to know why you are the way you are. And that can be good and that can be bad. So choose the, I got to change hats since I talked about all that. So let's go here. How about a Cabela's hat? You get to judge these later, by the way. Anyway, everyone needs Jesus. The choices we make are either going to point people to him or point people away from him, because how we react in different situations. So we got up this morning and went out. We were getting ready to leave for church. Never had a problem with her car other than when Jennifer blew the engine in it. But other than that, we never had a problem with the car. And yesterday, I thought we were going to be going out again. We had some people over for supper, and I left the windows down on the car. I got out, left the key in it, you know, shut it off, didn't take the key out. Went out this morning, and it's deader than a hammer. The key was on accessory. I didn't turn it back far enough. And now the key won't come. Some of you are shaking your head like, done that, Ron? Been there, done that. So now the key won't come out. The battery's dead. Had to borrow Mark's truck at the RV park and get to church that way. So that was how our morning started out. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I could have reacted badly to that. But, you know, I just prayed about it and thought, you know, I'm not going to let this ruin what I have to say this morning, because it's not, I've always heard, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to what happens to you. Amen. We don't always make the right decisions. Choices. Choosing the things that can be chosen, an act of making a decision between two options. It's not hard to make the wrong choice. Sometimes we make the wrong choice, and it's not a bad choice, but it turns out when you look back on it later, it's like, boy, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have went down that road. Shouldn't have associated with that person. Shouldn't have gone there. You know, and there's times when we choose, and it looks great at the time, only to look back later and see that what we chose was not necessarily the right thing. I always call it the 50-50-90 rule. When I've got a choice between two things, have you ever heard of the 50-50-90 rule? You got a 50-50 chance of choosing the right thing, but a 90% chance you won't. That's the 50-50-90 rule. So don't always leave it up to chance. You know, pray about it. Seek the Lord about it. See what, get counsel on it. When you're making a decision, talk to someone that's been around the block a few years and get some insight, get some wisdom from them, especially the young people. But let me tell you, as Lucy will tell you, Larry makes wrong choices to this day. You don't have to laugh about it. Okay, I need to change hats again. Oh, this is a good one here. I like this one. There we go. See, even the representation of changing hats is a choice. You might think, well, that's a silly illustration. I was even going to preach barefoot this morning since Pastor Adam did last week. So you want me to do that? All right, I can do that right now. There we go. You see them? Now you want a pair, don't you? So, what do you think, Pastor?
That's phenomenal.
There you go. So, and you know, when I put these socks on, I can climb trees a lot better. So, you doing okay back there? I think Lucy's losing it. Remember, I'm Larry, I'm not Dan. All right, let's change hats again and move on. Okay. All right. My life story. I'm the youngest of nine. Not supposed to be here. I had a baby sister that was born, 2 years before I was? Kathleen, perfect. But she was stillborn. And they told mom then, I hear this story, or I've heard it before growing up, that they told mom that she'd never have any more children. Well, here's Larry. Here I am. But I was born 2 years later on Christmas Day, and I had five sisters, so I had six mothers, youngest of the family. But you know, my mother, I graduated high school in, was it in June or May? And my mother passed away in June. She got to see me graduate. She was 56 years old. And I became very angry. I was, my mission was to join the Army, and Vietnam was going strong at the time, and I was going to join the Army and go kill people. I'm being honest with you, I was a very angry young man because my brothers and sisters, I had an older brother that's 21 years older than I am. And the next sibling next to me is 10 years older than I am. So there was a big gap there. And the rest of my brothers and sisters got to spend part of their life with my mother. They got to see, she got to see their grandchildren and things like that. And that never happened for me. So I became very angry about that. But I was saved at the Assembly of God when I was 14 years old. I had another sister, that Judy, that was really involved in church at that time, and we were going to the Baptist church, the First Baptist, and she said, you know, you need to come to the youth group and come to church. And so I did, and I got saved at the Assembly of God at 14. So that gave me a spiritual foundation that helped me 4 years later when I was 18 and my mother passed away. If it hadn't been for that, I don't think I would have made it through that time. Well, then I had three friends, and we were going to go into the military on the buddy system, which that didn't work out, because once you got into the military, they did whatever they wanted to do. They were supposed to get to serve together, and I think one of them went into the Marines, one went into the Army, one went into the Navy, and something else. Anyway, I was the fourth guy. Well, along came Lucy. We were went to high school together. In our senior year, we didn't really know one another until our senior year. Well, then when I met her, I mean, I had been met with the recruiter. All I had to do was sign the papers, and I was in the Army. But things took a turn after I met, I'll call you Jennifer. A different plan, a different direction. But it had to do with a choice. And that choice was probably, not probably, but was one of the best choices in my life. I have two beautiful children, both in the ministry. One's a pastor and one's a mom and a wife. But they're both in the ministry. Amen? If you're a mom, you're in the ministry. So, proud of them. Grandchildren, 10 of blood, their own, and 2 more through my son-in-law. So, great, great family from a choice that I made at 18. So our choices matter, young people. Your choices matter. Some of those choices will follow you the rest of your life, good or bad. Let me see. I better change hats again. People are getting too emotional. Let me see what I want here. This is one of my favorite ones. It says, RV having fun yet. Got an RV on it. And travel with this a lot. A couple, how many years ago? 4 years ago, we made the decision to sell the house, sell the business, buy an RV. We're on our 3rd one, 4th one if you count the camper first, but 4th one, traveling the country and just going wherever we want to go, as long as we can go, as far as we can go. But coming back to our church family and our church home is a privilege. And we just, we love to travel, but we love being at home for as long as we can stand you, and then we leave. No, we love you. We love our church family. Sometimes making the right choice is easy, plain, common sense. And other times it's more difficult. Pray, trust, wait, and believe. That's hard to do. Common sense, and I used this at the city council meeting one time. I don't think it went over very well, but I said common sense is like deodorant. The people that need it the most don't use it. So you see, common sense is not really that common anymore. When you think that it's just an easy choice, and sometimes it's, even though we might think we got common sense, we might have somebody by the name of Jennifer or Lucy come along and say, "What are you thinking?" Men, we need that. How many have us been directed in another direction just by that look or just by that, "No, what are you thinking?" Got some hands going up. So, and to the soon-to-be newlyweds, remember that. Work together. Work it out. I have made, talking about bad choices, I have made bad choices over the years by, I would come home with a different vehicle, not say a word to, you know, use, Larry wouldn't say a word to Lucy. He'd just come home driving up with a new vehicle. And that wasn't a good choice, just to let you know. Or Larry would come home with a brand new shotgun. Or, you know, Larry would spend some money that she didn't know about. So I've made those bad choices. So Listen to me. Take some advice. Talk it out together. And it goes for women, too. Don't come home with that purple necklace around your neck without talking to without talking to your husband. So, choices. We all make the choices, good or bad. Why does God let us have free choice, free will? I mean, he didn't want us to be just a bunch of people that just didn't have any choice in whether he even give us that choice down to whether we want to serve him or not. Wouldn't it have been so much simpler if he just stamped every one of us Christian, Christian, Christian? You get eternal life. You get eternal life. You get eternal, but it's not that way. He gave us the ability to choose. I'm going to tell you a story in closing about a choice that I made a couple weeks ago. I better change hats for this. I got to put on my C-Bus hat. Because this is a story about a choice I made. I was driving the C-Bus, and I was picking up a person from the library. Just one person. You know, I was doing a route in town, and I take people first thing in the morning to what's called the drop-in center out at the First Christian Church, and I take some people down to Optime by the post office, and then I pick those same people up in the afternoon at 1 and 3. But in between times, I take people to Walmart, take people to doctor's appointments, I take people to wherever they need to go, eye appointments, whatever. So this particular day, I was picking up this person from the library. And the library, let me go back a minute. When I was on the city council, I said, I'd like to propose that we make parking one side only at the library. And they said that got shot down because at the time they were planning on building a parking lot across from the library, which, by the way, whenever you drive by there, there's no cars in that parking lot. No one uses that parking lot. They park on the street. So here I'm driving this big bus down the street towards Main Street. I'm picking him up at the front of the library. He's getting on the right-hand side of the bus. Well, there's cars parked on both sides of the street. And I stop, got my flashers on, got the doors open. He hasn't come out yet. Well, here comes an oncoming car headed towards the north side of town. He can't get through. And I'm sitting there in this big bus. And this car is parked to the right-hand side of the bus, but there's an open space, about a car length of an open space, than another car. So I'm thinking, well, I can pull forward a little bit and angle in and let this guy get by. Because he's agitated, he can't get by, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to let him by. So guess what? The front half of the bus made it. The back half of the bus didn't. It was a brand new Subaru SUV. And the back end of that bus, starting at about the passenger side door all to the front, scraped that car. Bad news. I heard this strange noise, and I thought, what in the world is that? Have I got a brake stuck? Or because in a bus, you know, it's hard to hear what's going on. And I look back into my mirror, and about this time, the guy comes out from the library, and of course, people are gathering around. I immediately went in, had him call 911, search for the lady. The lady come out, and I can't use the words that she was saying because I haven't heard them, Bob, since we worked at Roquette. They were some nice words. You probably heard some of them before. And it wasn't a good situation. I tried apologizing, and she wouldn't hear of it. I tried, you know, everything to make it right, and there was just no making it right. That was a choice that I made. that seemed very right at the time that went south real quick. Of course, the police came, exchanged license and insurance, and this lady is just, she's just going ballistic. She's just bouncing off the walls. And later on, you know, my boss from CBUS called, and you know, she was wanting to press charges and criminal charges against me and wanted my license pulled and just everything. I mean, she's just making a mess of it. So even though we try to do the right things, sometimes we mess up, and only God and time can correct that. You know, they didn't hardly do anything to the bus, but car is another story. We were kind of hooked up at the fender wells, and Reardon's had to come and pull the bus away from her car. So sometimes in making the right choice, what we think is the right choice at the time, turns out it can go bad. So in those situations, in those times, we just have to give that to God. I was upset for, well, I handled it pretty well, actually, because at one time in my life, I wouldn't have handled that good, would I, Lucy? So anyway, God changes us. God molds us and makes us, as long as we're following him, as long as we're reading the scripture, as long as we're trying to do the right thing, even though sometimes when we try to do the right thing, it turns out badly. But God can redeem us. He can redeem a bad decision. He can redeem things that go bad. Romans 8 and 28. Who could quote that scripture? Somebody quote it for me. Romans 8, 28. I'll start it out. All things work together for those who are called according to... See, there's a catch there. You know, sometimes we mess up and we think, oh, well, you know, all things work together for good. But you got to love God, and you got to be called according to his purpose. So remember that, people, old people, young people. Just when we mess up, yes, God can work that out. I have seen him redeem so many situations in my own family that I know that's true. But you gotta have that little catch in there. Love God and be called according to the purposes that he wants you in, what he has for your life. And I'm going to close by, I want to play this for you. It's a guy that I've been listening to on Facebook. He has just little clips. I've sent some to Pastor Adam before. And it's just, well, why does God allow things to happen? And you'll get the gist of it. I just want you to listen to this.
God is real. Why does he allow so much suffering? That's a good question. My mother died when I was 7 years old. She was 31 years old. And for me, it might be the most traumatic experience of my life. And so that's not just a question. For years, for me, it was the question. And if you've ever walked through pain or loss or heartbreak or betrayal, you've probably asked that same question. And so let me start here. This question is really emotional before it's intellectual, because it comes from a place of hurt, not just doubt. But here's what I've come to understand. The presence of pain doesn't mean the absence of God. Sometimes pain is the very thing that wakes us up to his presence. So here's where we are. God gave humanity free will, because love without choice isn't love, it's coercion. And with free will comes the potential for pain. God could stop every act of evil, but he'd also have to stop every act of freedom. I've even asked this question. Why doesn't he just remove all the evil people? Frank Turek said, If God were to eliminate all evil people at midnight, how many of us would still be here at 1201? Because if God stopped every act of evil or suffering, he would also have to stop you and me every time we made a selfish choice. Because let's be real, evil isn't just out there. It's also in here. It's in our hearts. It's in our decisions. It's in our silence. I mean, just think about how quickly evil shows up when somebody cuts you off or offends you. We like to believe we only want justice when the truth is we want revenge, and that's evil. But here's what makes Christianity different. God doesn't just sit above suffering. He stepped into it. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, felt the full weight of human pain. He was betrayed. He was abused. He was beaten. He was abandoned. He was crucified. So God didn't just allow suffering. He endured it. He endured it for you and for me and for this whole broken world. And what Jesus did on the cross wasn't just about forgiveness. It was also about defeating suffering and death forever. Because one day, according to Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. So God is not absent in your pain. He's present in it. And he's promised to redeem it. So the question isn't, why is God allowing suffering? The question is, who's going to walk with me through it? And the answer is Jesus.
Amen.
If God is real.
Amen. Well, that pretty much, that, by the way, is something that I dealt with loss of a grandson. At 6 months old, and what the Evols are going through now, and I had to deal with that. That was a dark time for me. So, wisdom is sweet, and folly is sour. When we make a bad choice, when we go that way, it's just going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. But I want to leave you with something this morning that's going to leave a good taste in your mouth. So if I can have Braden and choose a partner. Oh, no. Okay, yeah, go. Jennifer, would you give them? Make sure that everybody gets, except for one person. No, make sure everybody gets at least one of these. These are my homemade caramels that I've made probably thousands of at this point. And I want to leave you with something sweet this morning, because wisdom is sweet. The knowledge that God is for us is sweet. Knowing that we have a home in heaven someday is sweet. The gospel is sweet. So enjoy a sweet reminder of that. You may not remember a thing that I've said, but you're going to remember a sweet caramel.
Thank you, Dan. And Dan's mini hats. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's good. So as we look back through Proverbs chapter 9, which was, I'm just going to make some room on this table, the basis of our storytelling this morning, wisdom and folly have that extreme disconnection. And the instruction from Solomon as an old guy is to say, hey, leave some of that folly behind. Leave that inexperience behind. Enter into wisdom so that you can be changed. So that your stories, you don't have to change the names to protect the innocent Jennifers in the room. You can just, at some point, start walking away from that. If you instruct the wise, he will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and he will learn more. That's the place that we have to be. And sometimes for us, that is just sitting at the feet of people with wisdom and saying, hey, how do you deal with this? How would you handle this situation? I accidentally got into a wreck. What do I need to do next? And if you brought that to Dan, at this point, Dan would say, well... Was it a Subaru? Was it a brand new Subaru? Did it look like it had been freshly painted? Because that lady is already mad at me. You know, whatever that situation may be. We want to be in a place where we're growing in wisdom. And this morning we got to just hear several different stories. We got to hear about Dan's life and a season of growth for him and decisions along the way that molded him and his family into who they are today. As he chose to follow Jesus, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It starts there. It starts with Jesus in the beginning. And then from there, we grow into, hopefully, some people that, like I said, don't have to protect our wives and our stories anymore. We can get to that place where we say, oh yeah, that was me. I did that dumb thing, and God brought me through it anyway. So it's a blessing to know the Lord in that way and to be able to grow. The important thing to know about all of that is that while wisdom is sweet, folly always has an invitation. She is always standing there with the door wide open saying, hey, come over here. Do something else stupid. It'll be fun. The end of Proverbs chapter 9 shares that with us, that she is constantly inviting us in to do something stupid. Whoever is inexperienced, enter here. To the one who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is tasty. It's going to be fun. But death comes quickly for those people. So thank you, Dan, for sharing some wisdom with us this morning. Thank you for enduring through us with throughout this Book of Proverbs series. We're gonna have one more week in that next week, finishing out in Proverbs chapter 10, and then we'll go into some other things. The end of this month is August 31st, we have a fifth Sunday, which for us is a little bit different. I'm very excited about it. On fifth Sundays, we do something very different in our church. We have an all-worship service. During that time, we invite you to share testimonies. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have a time of sharing. We're going to do a few different things. We're going to do church that looks almost more biblical than what we do on a regular basis, where we're going to greet each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're going to share one another's burdens. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to do all of the things that the Bible says, hey, do this when you get together. We're going to do that on the 31st. So I encourage you to make plans to be here for that. Make plans to be a part of that service. And if you've got a testimony, something that God has laid on your heart, or something incredible God has done in your life, share that with us that day. We need that kind of encouragement because some people just got in that wreck. We need to know how God got you through it. Some people are dealing with that loss of a little one. We need to know how God got you through it. Some people are dealing with those huge life things, and God has already shown himself to be faithful in our church. So let's get through those things together with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you all for being here this morning. I'm going to pray and we will go home. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of these wonderful humans. Thank you for the ability to get together. Thank you for wisdom as it is represented here in our church through people like Dan and Jennifer and so many others who have shared wisdom not only with me but with each other and with all of us that would show up with something stupid in our head that we might want to do as folly invites us in. God, help us to be people of wisdom. Help us to walk as people who love you. Thank you for all of that. God, go with us as we go about the rest of our week. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. Thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.